Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
B-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one.
I didn't even think.
Hurts. Keeping. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
All right, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered. We are finally back, co-host Connor Miles with my co-host Ed Kraz. Again, the show is sponsored by betonline.ag. It's the perfect time for you to go to betonline.ag, use promo code BELIEVE, put your initial deposit in. They'll match you up to 50%. Football is around the corner. You can even do bets on preseason games. I'm even a preseason bettor myself. I go on there for daily fantasy stuff and, you know, just pick players out that I think are going to go off that day because preseason's fun. You know, look at Jason Huntley. Got a ton of carries for the Eagles, got a ton of usage, and he did very well with that and scored a ton of points for DFS players. So go ahead, use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. And they will match your initial deposit up to 50%. You don't have to know anybody in the preseason. Use some of the Eagles players, for God's sakes. You know they like to use their depth and see what they got in the backfield and in the wide receiver room. So go ahead, use promo code BLEAV. Head on over to betonline.ag. Again, Connor Miles here with Ed Kraz. Ed, we are back. What I wanted to ask you real quick to start off the pod is, how you been doing, man?
Okay, Connor, good to be back with you. Been doing great, man. You know, 11 days in the books for Eagles training camp. The final the final training camp day comes along Tuesday. That'll be day 12. And then from there, it's, joint practices with the Browns, joint practices with the Dolphins the following week, and then the regular season. So, yeah, been running around, you know, trying to keep track of what's happening on and off the field with these guys. And it's been a great summer. I have to say, I've really been kind of enthused watching these training camps. You know, to me, sometimes it gets a little old as it goes along in previous seasons, but this year it really, you know, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. I'm enjoying how they're practicing and just having a great time, you know, watching what's happening.
This year's been the attack on the media from my point of view of training camp reports. You know, the Eagles have such a great roster. They had one of the best off seasons in Howie Roseman's history as a general manager. I 100% believe that. A lot hinges on Jalen Hurts, as we all know. Now, I think you notice this. You're a social media guy. I'm a social media guy. You see when the negative comments from the media members towards Hurts at camp, how they get reflected upon once they're reported. Can you just give, because we all know Ed. Ed is like the most like-minded reporter around. He knows why there's negatives. He knows why there's positives. Context is always key with Ed. Can you give a thorough analyst of what you thought about Jalen Hurts' third year training camp? Because I think a lot of people are, if you say something negative, you're fully against him. If you say something positive, you're fully with him. There's no in-between. I'm in a person that loves the in-between. So let's hear the in-between, Ed.
Well, to me, Jalen Hurts looks like, you know, kind of the same guy that he was in year two. I mean, I kind of discount year one, you know, with Doug Peterson, he came in. Carson Wentz was the leader of the team. So it was a rough first year for him, but he looks similar in camp. But then we see him go out against the Jets, and he just looked comfortable against what the defense was showing him. He looked like he knew where he wanted to go with the ball. It looked like he got the ball out a little bit quicker. So what you see in camp isn't always what you're going to see in a game, especially with a player like Hurts, who's, you know, one of the top level competitors that I've ever seen as far as competing, his work ethic, wanting to get better. And then when the lights go on with a guy like him, I think he takes his game up even higher. As a lot of the great players do. I'm not saying he's a great player, but, you know, you see a lot of the competitive players able to take that game up a level when the lights come on, and he certainly does that. So, you know, his camp has been, it's been kind of up and down. It's a lot like last year, but again, I'm not sure, you know, you can really make any judgments based on that because they're practicing different things. What we've seen a lot of in camp was, you know, the Eagles working some underneath stuff, getting the ball out quick, some quick slants to like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, some turnaround, you know, button hook type patterns from Dallas Goedert. You know, they haven't taken too many deep shots in the team drills. Every now and then they'll take one, but it looks to me like they're really concentrating on muscle memory. You take what you see and you go there. If it's covered, you go to your next progression, and then you decide whether or not you need to leave the pocket. But to me, Jalen Hurts I think he's going to have a better season than last year. What that looks like, I'm not sure. I'm hoping it means that he can have a higher completion percentage. He only completed, I think it was 61% of his throws in his first year as a starter. You'd really like to see that go up. And I think this effort and this concentration on these shorter, quicker patterns will help him get there.
I think that's like the one curve that we all like to just overlook is that, you know, playing in a new system, there's always going to be growing pains. There's always going to be time to get used to that. What I saw against the Jets, from listening to you and John doing these camp reports, and everybody else that's also been doing a fantastic Eagles training camp coverage out there, it seems like from comparing Jalen Hurts to last year on the field as a field general to this year, he's trusting his vision more. Like he's more comfortable because he's seeing the field a lot better than he did last year. Because I'll tell you right now, I know it was a preseason game. I know it's against the Jets. I know you're not, you know, again, these games don't count. But to start off your first live action, 6-6 as a passer when you have a ton of questions about your accuracy, a ton of questions about your ability to see the field, to start off 6-6, that's very positive to me. And, you know, I'm okay with taking what you have to base your offense around the limitations of your quarterback. Can Jalen Hurts make the deep pass? I think so. Can he do it consistently? Is that the type of offense you want to implement around him? I don't think so. I don't think that's what he does best. I think you want to do what he does best. You know, we always go back to this, but I thought back during the 2020 draft when we had NBC Sports Thor Nystrom on here, the draft analyst, and he compared Jalen Hurts to Ricky Rubio, a point guard for the NBA. I thought that was a comparison that, you know, was wild. You know, nobody thought that made sense. But as you know, Jalen Hurts starts to play for the Eagles more and more. You see it. He's more of a point guard distributor as a quarterback. And I think, you know, having a little bit more comfort level in this offense, trusting what your eyes are seeing on the field, being comfortable. Because, you know, a lot of the stuff last year I thought was he'd take the snap, look at his first read. It wasn't going the way he thought it would go. Bail the pocket. Now it looked like, again, preseason. Not saying that this is going to be any indication what we're going to expect during the season, but again, it's a preview. It's still a preview, no matter what. He looked comfortable. He didn't look like a guy that would do that. He looked like a guy that's like, okay, if my first progression's not going the way it should go, let me survey the field. Let me not take off real quick and try to make a play happen. There's still time. I got a great offensive line in front of me. So that I thought was the major improvement. And again, you're talking about a 24-year-old quarterback. His improvements are going to come gradually. Gradually. Especially with a quarterback like his skill set. You know, we could say this until we get red in the face. Alabama, he's asked to be a really an option quarterback. Oklahoma fully unlocks himself as a pocket passer under Lincoln Riley's system. Comes to the Eagles behind Carson Wentz. You know, it hasn't been a normal, typical quarterback journey for Jalen Hurts. And we have to allow him that patience to continue that journey. And it's going to take some time still. I don't think you're going to get the finished product of Jalen Hurts until year six, to be honest with you, Ed. I still think he's still putting it all together. And I know that's not what Philadelphia wants to hear. That's not what the organization is going to wait for either. I'll tell you that right now. No. But I think you're going to get a good enough Jalen Hurts this year to think it's going to make him pause. It's going to make him pause those two first-round picks because they're going to think, you know, this kid just continues to get better. The team rallies around him. They win. Because if they win this year again, look, he took that team to the playoffs last year when nobody expected them to. If they win this year again, that's 2 years in a row you're taking them to the playoffs. It's a hard time to knock that guy. Really hard to replace a guy like that that takes your team to the playoffs back-to-back years, especially with the second-year head coach. I mean, So I, you know, I'm fine with the gradual process. I think there's some notable progressions in his development. But again, I'm with you on this one. I think, you know, what you see is what you get with Jalen Hurts. He's not going to come out and just, you know, be a totally different quarterback. You know, he's not going to just develop into this quarterback that everybody, elite quarterback that everybody thinks he is. He's going to have his limitations just like every other NFL player does. And I think he's going to be a very steady to great quarterback for this team. But we'll see. You know, it's still a process, still gradually going. You know, I'm with you. I think that comment that you made, that's not, you know, it's not what everybody wants to hear, but it's kind of the truth, is that you're seeing the same guy, and Jalen Hurts is what he is, Jalen Hurts. You know, he's going to improve as a passer gradually, but to what extent? And is it a bad thing either? Because, you know, the Eagles won with him the way he was last year. If he's only improving a little bit, they're only going to continue to get better then.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, in the NFL, it's hard to show patience for very long with a player. I mean, with Hurts now, it's going to be, at the end of the season, the Eagles are going to either commit to him and give him a, you know, whatever it is, a three-year contract extension worth $110, $20 million, whatever it is, $30, $40 million a year, because he answered the questions they wanted to see him answer, or they're going to draft somebody. They're not going to let these two first-round picks kind of go to waste. If they feel like they need to bring in another guy, they'll bring in another guy, and then I think Jalen stays here at that point, and he competes in his final year of his contract. So I think it's really one of those two things is going to happen at the season's end, and it's in Jalen's court right now to decide which one of those is going to happen. And that's a good position for him to be in. He certainly seems to, he's always been a confident guy, but, you know, he's starting to talk more about himself, which is interesting. You know, this quote after the game, when he was asked about his ability to make throws on the run and if that makes him a dangerous quarterback, he says, there aren't too many guys in the league that can do the things that I can do in terms of extending plays, throwing on the run, getting freaky, getting down the field, using my legs, and running with the ball. I think that definitely adds an extra dynamic to my game. So, I mean, you know, he didn't talk like that last year, and you hear him making these comments about himself, like, you know, he had that inner confidence, but now he's starting to exude it, you know, publicly. And, you know, that's interesting to hear. I mean, I just think he's a guy that gets it. He's a guy that I think if you ask me which of those two options I laid out earlier, I think he's going to play well, and I think he's going to get that contract extension. Yeah. You know, and again, and I've seen him in every training camp practice. But again, I think a lot of it depends on that completion percentage. It has to be better. He's got AJ Brown now that, you know, he can turn a short pass or a quick slant into, you know, a 20-yard gain with his ability to make yards after the catch. So that completion percentage has to go up. That's the one thing I'm keeping an eye on with Hurts this season.
And I think it will go up. I mean, there's gonna be too much space in this offense for him not to put the ball in too. So I agree. I think it's gonna go up. But I agree with you with the first part too. I think he's gonna get, which is, you know, not really speculated enough, and it should be, because there's no way, absolutely no way, Howie Roseman lets his quarterback play at the last year out of his deal. No way. Absolutely not, especially when he's young. You send him all you can before the market inflates even more. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson just blew it up. Lamar's gonna make it explode even more. Don't waste time. Don't kick the bucket. If he proves it to you this year, just go ahead and extend him, because you can get out of those deals. You've done it before already with Carson Wentz. So yeah.
And Eagles are in a position, they have, I think it's 18 players on one-year contract. So, you know, they have the flexibility within the payroll. The salary cap's going to go up to, you know, $230 million plus. So, you know, they have it set up where if he does answer the bell and does the right things, then they have room to get him into that, you know, fit him under the salary cap. Even though A.J. Brown's making, you know, whatever, $100 million over 4 years, you know, he's got a high salary. Darius Slay is going to have a big deal next year, but they have enough flexibility to make a long-term deal with Jalen work.
I'm with you, though. I think he's going to prove himself. I think this team's too good enough for him not to lead it to at least 11 wins. And I believe the completion percentage is going to improve, because there's a lot of drop passes last year that would have improved his completion percentage. I don't think it dropped this year with A.J. Brown inserted to the starting lineup. Ed, moving on. Are there any guys that aren't being talked about enough? I don't even care if it's undrafted free agents, if it's draft picks, anybody that you can think off the top of your head that are to you made a strong enough impression that are going to make this roster that we should start focusing on a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, an undrafted guy, you know, everybody's talked about Britton Covey, the returner, slot receiver, had a slight injury on Friday night with the ligaments in his thumb. They're calling it a thumb sprain. I talked to Britton in the tunnel after the game, and he told me that it was strained ligaments. So I put out there that he sprained ligaments. And, you know, Sirianni was asked on Monday or Sunday about it. And he said, you know, I told him not to be a doctor, keep his doctor opinions to himself. But Covey said that they were sprained ligaments and that he thought, you know, he was going to probably be laid up for a while. But anyway, he was out there yesterday. His thumb was wrapped up. But obviously, Covey's one. Another one is a cornerback, Josh Jobe, who's an undrafted free agent from Alabama. He played a lot of snaps on Friday. Again, it's that position is going to be difficult to kind of figure out who your top five or six corners are. I think Tay Gowan had a pretty strong game against the Jets. So, you know, maybe those two guys aren't being talked about enough as perhaps being the fifth corner. I like how they're kind of cross training Andre Cicere or Shashere from safety. They have them taking some reps in the slot. They've also are cross training Josiah Scott. You know, he's typically a slot corner. They have him playing a lot of safety. So that shows me they like those two guys and they're trying to find ways to give them that flexibility to keep them somehow on this roster. So there's a few guys that haven't been talked enough. I think Marlon Tuipulotu, and I keep butchering that name, Marlon T, Mr. T, the sixth round pick last year from USC. I think he is probably going to be like a backup type defensive tackle to Jordan Davis in the middle. They're using him a lot. He looks a lot different.
Good.
He looks good. Really good. He looks stronger. And you know, in hindsight, I don't think he was 100% healthy most of last year. I know he had the ankle injury at USC, may have led to a little bit of a drop in his draft projection. So, you know, he's a guy that I think probably isn't being talked enough as someone that can come in and, you know, give this team some quality snaps when called upon. I'm not saying he's going to be some standout, you know, three sack, four sack this season type guy, but serviceable player on that defensive line, which is very good and very crowded. So if he can somehow find a way onto the roster, you know, he can play. You know, maybe some other guys like Jason Huntley saw a lot of action. You know, he's not a short yardage type back and they used him in that role. You know, he, you know, did well in some of those snaps, like fourth and one at the 1 yard line, he scores a touchdown, but third and one, he can't pick up an inch, fourth and one, he can't get anywhere, but he's running behind a second team line at that point. Number one, number two is, I don't think you want your kickoff returner, which he would be if they keep him on this roster, to be the short yardage guy. Like they were just using him in that role because Miles Sanders had a seat for the night against the Jets. Boston Scott didn't play. Kenny Gainwell didn't play. But, you know, he was the guy that was thrust into that role. And then speaking of running backs, I thought Kennedy Brooks did some good things, the undrafted free agent running back. He's not going to be on the roster, but I can see him on the practice squad for sure. But, you know, and with Huntley, it comes down to whether or not the Eagles are going to keep three or four running backs. And they very well might if they, you know, I had him originally keeping six wide receivers and three running backs and four tight ends. Now, you know, that could go five receivers, three tight ends and four running backs. But I just don't see, I know Huntley would return kicks, but how many kicks do you get in a game? Really kickoffs, you know, two, maybe if that, so, you know, Huntley looked good. You know, I think Noah Tugaia, a tight end who came over, was originally with the Eagles as an undrafted free agent a couple years ago out of Oregon State. They cut him, went to Indianapolis, got into three games. He's back in Philly now. I think he's done a nice job kind of being that tight end behind Goddard and Stoll, Jack Stoll, who I think looked pretty good. But cool. Noah Tugaia's kind of played himself into that position. Tyree Jackson, the big name from last summer, he's still on PUP as he rehabs his ACL. I don't know what's going to happen with him, but, you know, if you're looking for a third tight end, it could be, you know, someone like Noah Tugaia, because Grant Calcaterra, the rookie sixth round pick, he hurt his hamstring in the first days of camp. He was having a good camp, but now he hasn't gotten back on the field in, you know, over a week. So I don't know what his status is going to be with this hamstring injury. So, you know, Tugaia has played himself into perhaps a role. Maybe if they keep four tight ends, he's the fourth along with Calcaterra, Goddard, and Stoll.
Pretty Blankenship too. The safety, I thought, you know,
Blankenship.
Yeah, Blankenship's. I mean, he's had a good camp too.
Yeah, and he led the team in tackles against the Jets. He had seven tackles. He played. I think he played the most snaps of anybody. And again, safety's that position that is, you know, very unsettled. You have Marcus Epps, obviously. You have maybe Anthony Harris, Jaquaski Tartt. He signed in mid-June. He missed 3 days of camp with personal reasons. He wasn't at Friday night's game. He was back on the field Sunday, but he's running third team. I mean, I don't know if they like Reed Blankenship, a young kid on a cheap deal. Maybe he's got a shot to make the roster.
Yeah, Hart's missing valuable time. I mean, I hope those personal reasons are all sorted out, and he's okay as a person, as a human being, at the end of the day too. But
yeah, absolutely,
I mean, he signed late, missing valuable time. You know, I know I'm a big fan of his game. Was calling for the Eagles to sign him all offseason. But again, with this late addition and with other guys picking up the system faster and quicker with him not being there, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be just set in stone just because they signed him.
Yeah, I think Blankenship can play in this league, whether or not it's here in Philadelphia or, you know, somewhere else if he does get cut and they try to get him to the practice squad. I think Blankenship can play in this league, and I'm not sure it's going to be here just because of the numbers game, but you never know. I do like his game, though, Connor. I think he showed pretty well against the Jets, and he's had a pretty good camp.
I also like this, not to get off topic, but it's because you brought it up, this cross-training safety corner. Dennis Allen does it to a T in New Orleans. And I think it's one of the most effective things you can do with your defensive backs because it frees up so much for your cornerback room. And it also frees up how many safeties you can have on the field at once that, you know, do multiple things better than a corner does, really, to be honest with you. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, perfect example. You know, most people even are going to start referring to him as a nickel corner now more than a safety, but he's a hybrid. He does both. And I think, you know, having a safety that's able to do both is, you know, phenomenal for your defense, because like I'm saying, you know, corners aren't always the best tacklers. You know, corners are set to do a specific skill set, to do a specific task. That's get pass breakups or, you know, force turnovers. You know, safeties can do so much and they're asked to do so many different things. And if you're lining them up in the nickel, you're doing, you know, they're helping in the run support then as well. Like I love cross training that. I like doing it. It's where the defense is going. I mean, it's where the league is going. You know, we're trying to figure out what system is the Eagle system. Is it a 3-4 base? Is it a 4-3? What are they doing? They're doing something different every week. And that's what I like the most. That's where the NFL is heading. You know, you want to keep offensive coordinators guessing that are already, you know, deploying their fourth wide receiver against you. That's only doing streak routes. You know, it's an ever changing league. It's a matchup advantage every single time. Yeah. I love it. I love what Jonathan Gannon's doing. I think he's doing great stuff.
You even see like, Fletcher Cox lining up kind of on the outside in a four-man front. We've seen some of that, you know, where he's actually lined up as a D end, you know, outside of Jordan Davis. And then on the other side is, you know, a Javon Hargrave, who's out a little bit now with a toe sprain. But Milton Williams has been in there. And then on the outside of him, Brandon Graham. So you have Cox and Graham on the outside as defensive ends, which is, you know, they're just cross training. They're just messing. We've seen 5-man fronts in practice with Jordan Davis in the middle, Fletcher Cox to his left, Milton Williams to his right. And then Josh Sweat and Hassan Reddick is kind of your overhang stand up guys on the edge. And that, you know, that's a heck of a defense.
Love it
right there.
I mean,
so we're going to see I'm not sure there's going to be any one locked in scheme for Gannon, but I think we're going to see multiple defensive schemes and fronts and coverages. And I think we're going to see more blitzes. You know, I talked to Hassan Reddick about, you know, his role, and he said, you know, he has the ability, the coaches come to him, Gannon, Jeremiah Washburn, and say, hey, what do you like to do? What do you want to run? And I asked him, I said, do you ever say, hey, I want to drop on this play? Or do you just say, I just want to rush? And he kind of laughed and he's like, you know, listen, I understand why they want me to drop. He goes, because there's going to be some things that come off of that are going to help this defense. He goes, it's not just you have to drop because, you know, whatever. He said, there's a reason behind them wanting me to drop in certain schemes. So, you know, that to me says, hey, you know, they could bring a safety on a blitz. They could bring a slot corner on a blitz. They could overload one side. And when he drops back, maybe the quarterback isn't expecting it. And he throws it right to Hassan Reddick. You know, we saw Kaiser White pick off a pass. Yeah. That way against the Jets. So, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of different schemes and fronts and packages with Jonathan Gannon's defense this summer or this fall.
And, you know, going from Jim Schwartz's bend but don't break, not changing anything, like my system, old school defensive coordinator, to this new revolutionary style, modern day defensive play caller. I know it wasn't great last year. The expectations were a little high and not met at all, but I think you and I say it best. You know, the personnel was added this offseason. They spent the most on the defense of any NFL team in the league. This offseason on defense. So the personnel's there now. It's up to Jonathan Gannon to answer. But again, he's really the modern day defensive coordinator with all the, you know, the new nuances he's doing. Yeah. Again, you're going from Jim Schwartz, I'm doing it my way or the highway, to this, I'm doing something new every week and you're not going to know what I'm doing. Like that's, I like it. I like it. I'm excited for it. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, we didn't see any of it against the Jets, obviously. Preseason game, you're not going to show
You got to go vanilla. You got to go vanilla as possible.
So, you know, it was it's going to be fun when the lid comes off. And I think we might see some of that lid come off against the Browns in these joint practices, maybe the Dolphins the following week. You know, maybe he shows a little bit more because, you know, it's not out there for public view, really. So it's just going to be fun to watch.
Let's get into what we think about what do you think is the most five important Eagles to the success? Let's end the show this way.
Okay.
What is to you, if you had to rank them, the five most important Eagles? I think number one is Jalen Hurts. We all know that. That's an obvious answer. So let's just get that out of the way right now. Yes. Let's do 2 to 5. Start with 5 and then go to 2 because we all know Jalen Hurts is gonna be number one for both. But who do you think are the 4 most important players outside of Jalen Hurts for the Eagles' success in 2022?
Well, I think you could put A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on that list. I think that, you know, even though they have depth, and I like what Zach Pascal has done since he's returned from food poisoning, I just think those two players are so integral to what this offense wants to do. So, you know, maybe you could go with, you know, Brown / Smith as number 5, and then I'd put Goddard maybe at number 4, just because, you know, who is going to be that backup tight end? I mean, Jack Stoll is not – he's a good player. He's a good blocker, but he's certainly not the type of receiver that Dallas Goedert is in that offense. So, yeah, probably him. Maybe number 3, I would probably lean toward one of the cornerbacks, you know, Slay, Bradbury. If you lose one of those guys, then you're looking at Zach McPherson, who I think's done okay. You know, he's been kind of up and down. I think he's had a pretty good camp. But, you know, then you're looking at him or a Tay Gowan or a Josh Job or whoever is going to have to fill in for Bradbury and Slay. So they're very important. And then probably outside of Hurts, the most important guy to me is Lane Johnson, just because, you know, he's 32 now. But Jack Driscoll, to me, has been, you know, Brandon Graham has really kind of had his way with Jack Driscoll. And Graham, by the way, looks fantastic, to be honest with you. But,
seriously, few.
Yeah, but Driscoll struggled with him. And listen, I mean, you know, Graham's an elite player, and Driscoll's learning how to replay right tackle, which is something he did in college. But, you know, he was a guard. Everybody thought he would come in and battle Isaac Siamalu for that right guard spot. But that hasn't been the case. Siamalu was inserted there because Siamalu is one of the smartest linemen this team has, and he's a good player. So
he's a very good player.
Yeah, so Driscoll to me as a backup to Johnson is concerning. And we all know what Lane's the Eagles' record is without Lane in the lineup. You know, it's well below 500. So, you know, Lane Johnson and staying healthy and playing well at his age is to me the most important thing for him to stay healthy and to stay out there for 17 games. I hope he can do it. I thought this might be his last year, Lane Johnson, you know, but he's talking about like he's hitting his prime now. It sounds like he wants to play another few years. So it all starts with this year. He's got to stay healthy because if they lose him, just not a lot of depth there.
Don't put an expiration date on all offensive tackles. For some reason, these guys like to play into their almost 40s now. I mean, Jason Peters, Dwayne Brown, Lane Johnson's already making these comments. Like, I'm not putting an expiration date on offensive tackles. But all right, I'm going to give you mine real quick. Number 5 is going to be Lane Johnson because for the reasons you said. But the reason why I put him so low is number 5 is because the Eagles are getting used to playing without him. That's the thing. I'm kind of expecting it now more so than hoping that it doesn't happen. So Lane Johnson is number 5 for me. I think Jack Driscoll can be serviceable at right tackle, but again, serviceable is the term, not great, not good, but serviceable. And, you know, going into that right guard competition, I know a lot of people think Dragic School deserves it over Isaac Sayamala because of Isaac Sayamala's injury history. But I'm letting you guys know right now, the last 2 years, Isaac Sayamala has been borderline elite. When he's in there. When he's in there, he's been borderline elite. That's how good he's been playing. You guys really need to look into his numbers. I'm telling you guys right now, there's a reason why that they're not even making that a competition at all and just kind of giving to that already. And it was more media speculation than it was actual team speculation. Number four, I'm going AJ Brown, just because I think, and I'm going specific players here. I like Ed's theories with that because they are true, but I'm just going to go to specific players here because I think if they lose AJ Brown, they're the same wide receiver room than they were pretty much. Zach Pascal is a great addition. He's serviceable, again, trustworthy, great red zone threat, but he does not thread the needle anymore for this wide receiver room than it was last year if AJ Brown is taken out of this lineup. So if AJ Brown's gone, very, very, very tough uphill battle to go over climb. And again, AJ Brown himself also has a little bit of an injury history too. So that's something that the Eagles are also going to be courteous of. Number three is going to be Jason Kelce. I think Jason Kelce, you know, again, I would normally put him number two on my list. But the reason why I'm putting him number three this time is because he does actually have very solid backup, it looks like. You know, you take Cam Jurgens in the second round rookies start, you know, that in this league. They come out and be day one starters majority of the time. So when you're taking that guy that high in the second round, you have a premium insurance policy behind your starter. So that's the reason why I'm dropping Jason Kelce a little bit. But I can't drop him that much because if you remove him from the lineup, even if you put Cam Jurgens in, the chemistry's all thrown off. It's going to take a while for it to set in. That offensive line is going to struggle, and people are going to think Cam Jurgens is not the guy because of those struggles. But I do think that they have a player in him as well. I think he is the next Kelce. He looks every part of him in that Jets preseason game. Again, preseason, but again, it looked a lot like Jason Kelce. I could see why Kelce was, you know, telling the Eagles, this is the guy that might be the next me. Number two, Slay. You can't lose Slay. That whole secondary will fall apart without Slay. I know James Bradbury is a great addition. Do not get me wrong. Vontae Maddox played like a top three nickel last year. But a lot of this has to do with Slay. James Bradbury is coming off of a horrible season in New York. He's trying to remake his market. You know, asking him to be the cornerback one again after that down season is not the most ideal situation I think the Eagles are going to be put in without Darius Slay. Darius Slay is playing like a top five corner still. You know, the Eagles haven't had cornerback play like Darius Slay since 22 behind me. If they lose him, I think he's their second most valuable player this year. I really do. I think he is the most valuable player on defense, but I also think he's the second most valuable player to this whole entire team behind Jalen Hurts. If they lose Darius Slay for a long period of time, this defense is going to hurt.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all good picks. I dropped Kelce out completely because I think Jurgens is just the real deal. I think at this time that Kelsey's missing with his elbow.
He's talking about completely.
Yeah, I just think Jurgens is really good. I mean, I think he's just like Kelce. I mean, I know Kelsey's been doing this a long time, and Jurgens has to prove himself. But I think the time that Kelce missed from the COVID to start camp, when Jurgens is getting all those first-team reps, now that he's had that elbow clean out, it's Jurgens. And, you know, if you watch that game tape from the Jets, I mean, that he's doing things just like Kelce. Jurgens is strong, and he's smart. And he's tough, just like Kelce. He knows defenses, and him and Hurts have been working together to get on the same page. So I'm not as nervous if Kelce misses time because I think Jurgens will fit in just fine. And he's building that chemistry now with that O-line because Kelce hasn't been around. And I don't think the Eagles are worried about that. I mean, yeah, they'd love to have Kelce out there, but they know what they have in Jurgens. And for the first time in 5 years since Kelce has flirted with retirement after each season, I'm not nervous about who's going to play center if he were to miss time or retire. So that's kind of why I dropped him, but I could certainly understand he's one of the best, you know, he's a four-time first team All-Pro guy. So, I mean, he's definitely a phenomenal player and you want him out there, but I'm not as nervous about him missing time. And then, yeah, Slay for sure is an important piece in this defensive secondary. You know, he's really kind of the glue back there. But, you know, Bradbury, yeah, he had a down year last year. He still had four interceptions, and he's playing on a team that was going nowhere with a head coach that was going nowhere. So, you know, there's a lot of things that might have gone into, you know, his down year, at least, you know, by PFF standards. But four interceptions, that would have led the team last year if he was here in Philadelphia with four picks. So, you know, I think he's just as important as Slay. But, yeah, there are a lot of players that you really need to keep on the field if you want to go where you want to go if you're Philadelphia this season.
Hey, nobody from the D-line.
It's a deep spot, awesome. Man. Like, yeah, it's a deep position. You know,
I think my consideration was Brandon Graham just because of how poorly this pass rush fell off, like extremely poorly it fell off without him. Mm-hmm. I'm talking like it was one of the worst in the league. It was almost dead last. It was second to last in terms of sacks. So, I mean, because last year, if you guys go back to our list last year, Brandon Graham made both of our lists. And look what happened when he was injured. They fell apart. They couldn't get any pressure on the quarterback. Josh, what did the – I mean, you know, he came on at the end of the season for sure. But, again, when it comes to pass rush, it can't be a one-man individual show. But there has to be one man that gets the focus of the defense every single snap, and that was Brandon Graham. I mean, excuse me, the offensive line every single snap, and that was Brandon Graham.
Mm-hmm.
He was close to my consideration list, I'll tell you right now. But I think if he gets injured, they have Hassan Reddick now. You know, he's going to be their top edge guy.
Yeah, so. And I think, you know, if you look at him as just kind of a defensive end, you know, I think year two of Milton Williams, you might see him a little bit more outside. But I also think year two of Teron Jackson. I mean, Teron Jackson to me has really made a big leap.
He should have made the list earlier when talking about these guys.
Yeah,
that we're not talking about
because he's looking good. He is looking good. So again, yeah, Graham's very valuable, but I think. You know, now these guys aren't rookies anymore. So you lose Graham last year, and you know, Jackson and Williams are still learning how to play at the NFL level. Now
testament to the D-line depth. Testament.
Yeah, I think there's just good depth there. You know,
too many guys.
Yeah, I mean Patrick Johnson, another under talked about player. He has looked good in that kind of overhang edge rush type, you know, outside linebacker role. So they have guys that if Graham were to go down or whatever, and you hope he doesn't because, you know, he's 34. You hate to see, you want to see him go out on his terms, but, you know, I think they have some depth there that they could probably overcome his loss somewhat better than they did last year.
I agree. All right, guys, joint practices with the Cleveland Browns are coming up. We will see you later this week. Ed is going to be in Cleveland. We're going to be talking to him about what he's seeing at the joint practices. So either Thursday or Friday, we'll be back with a new episode then. Thank you guys for staying with us, and thank you again for all the support. We are back, baby. Football's back. Eagles football is back.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.